God certainly has blessed this church with the number of people that can sing and sing well. Turn with me, if you would, to Jonah chapter 1. Like I said before, I consider it an honor for you to allow me to preach here and that the Lord has brought me here. I always enjoy preaching at my home church to see all the faces that I know. Let me see. I was coming to church the other morning. It was about 8:15 in the morning. And I rolled by and I saw a guy on a bike. Well, you could tell that he took it seriously. He had the little helmet thing on. He had the little one-piece spandex thing going on. He looked like he did this regularly. He had a really nice bike, and it was Sunday morning. Now, it was about two exits right up the road here. He knew that there was a church just right down the street. I mean, you could see there's one Lutheran church right here, and there's this one right there. Yet he made that choice to go bike riding at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. Now, if I were to confront him, if he were here right now, he might say to me, "Why are you picking on me? Just leave me alone. I'm not bothering anybody. I'm not doing anything to anybody. I'm just getting out, stay in shape, and I'm not hurting anybody." But is that true? As we make our decisions in our life, are they just up to us? No matter what we do and how we do it, and as the Lord's direction goes, who do we affect? Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he went and paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man into his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was down in the sides of the ship and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if it so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots, so we know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And it said to him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence thou come? What is thy country? What people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." And then the men were exceedingly afraid and said, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with me, Lord. I ask you for the Holy Spirit to speak, Lord. I ask your truth to be shown evident, Lord. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this day, Lord. I ask you not to hide me behind the majesty of your truth. In your Son's holy and precious name, Christ, I pray. Amen. This world today says, if it doesn't hurt anybody, then why can't you do it? Yeah. You know, Nike, they got a little slogan going on, you know, as long as you don't bother anybody, it's okay. It's prevalent in just about everything you see today, that as long as I'm not hurting you, why don't you just leave me alone? But is that true? As we go, do the things that happen, do they affect those around me? What I do, can I have an adverse effect on other people? You see in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying." Now Jonah received this word. Now he knew the word. He was a prophet of God. In 2 Kings it says, "He restored the coast from Israel concerning Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher." So he was a prophet. He knew the word of God. It wasn't one of these things where, you know, he was in the middle of a field and a great voice came and he ran away. He heard this word and he knew it was from the Lord. Now, what about us who aren't prophets of God? What about the lost out there? Do they know of God? They may not know the specifics of the gospel, but they do know God. I'll tell you something. I don't believe in atheists. I don't think atheists really exist. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made even his eternal power and Godhead that are without excuse. In Romans chapter 2, it says, which showeth the work of the law written upon their hearts and their conscience, also bearing witness in their thoughts, mean accusing or else excusing one another. The existence of God is there. It's an obvious thing. You know, monkeys don't stare in the sky going, what is that big thing up there? We know in our heart that there are good things and bad things. And in the law, say that they know there's something out there. And when you say the word of the Lord comes, God will respond. God can deliver these things. Could you imagine? I mean, it sounds ridiculous that a plane would fly over a little house in the middle of Alaska and somebody said, you know what? I need to go witness to that guy.
Yeah.
Now, why in the world would that happen? Whether, you know, however the Lord works, the Lord is there. But this world today, we don't want the truth. We want to run from the truth. We don't like the truth. We don't want to hear Christianity. We run from it. What about the saved? The greater responsibility finds those who are saved. They have the Holy Spirit within them. When it says the Word of God comes into you, the Holy Spirit's there to tell you what to do and how to do. It convicts you of what you should do. It gives you direction of those things you should turn away from. In Psalms 37, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. What about the Christian, that dedicated Christian who serves, who tries to be a disciple of Christ, who disciplines his life to stand behind the Lord? Obviously, the Word of God comes to him. He knows what this Word is. Now, what word did Jonah receive? Verse 2, it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So God told Jonah, his prophet, to go. Now, we'd all support Jonah if he showed up and had a good video presentation. I am Jonah. I'm going to the city of Nineveh. These are the wicked people. And they show all the wicked stuff. Pray for me. Will you support me? And we would. I mean, Jonah, would that fits what someone going to witness would do. But Jonah knew who these people were. In Hosea, it says, thou shalt not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. These Ninevites were going to be used by God to chastise the children of Israel. And the Assyrians were brutally wicked. Not just a little cruel, not just kind of mean, but they were up to Nazi level, kind of what they would do when they would capture people. So God had told Jonah to go witness to these people in Nineveh and to so that they could get saved. Why would you want them to be saved? A Memorial Day just came and went a few days ago. Could you imagine going and saying that, hey, we're going to go witness to, you know, if we knew that the Muslims were going to come and chastise us, well, we need to go save them. So Jonah doesn't want anything to do this. He has no desire to do this. This is something that is repugnant to him, and he's willing to walk away from it. Now, what has God told us to do? The lost, it's easy. Believe, repent ye and believe the gospel. As the lost hear the words, and they know that they should be saved, that repent thing is awful scary, isn't it? It's nothing people really want to do. I was with Brother Laster one time. I was the silent partner, and he was knocking on doors, and we met a man, and he started witnessing to him. Got down on a knee and went through the whole thing. Now, you would think that he could just say, yeah, sure, I believe, go away. But he didn't. Brother Laster witnessed to him. He talked to him, but he just wouldn't say no. No, I just can't do that. My wife had talked to a lady we used to rent a house from, and she went through the whole plan of salvation and everything. No.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. And you would think that they would understand this, but they I don't really think that works well with me. What about the saved? What's God taught us to do? What's the thing, are you willing to do something that you don't desire to do? When God calls us to do things, I mean, we always enjoy doing what we like to do. I enjoy art. Hey, we need you to draw something. Well, I'm glad to sacrifice for the Lord. You know, but those things that we don't find pleasing to us, those things we don't enjoy, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to, I mean, a lot, and I'm talking more than just, you know, recording something on television. Are you willing to sacrifice in something in your life to go where the Lord tells you to go? You think of all the people called, all that God leans into his heart, but are the saved willing to do that? Are they willing to listen to the Lord? Now, what did Jonah do? Jonah said, but in verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah just said, no, I'm not going to do it. Knew what was going on, had full cognizant thought about what I'm going to do, and just, nope, not for me. He got on a boat. He didn't drown himself in sin. He didn't, you know, shake his fist. He didn't do anything. He simply said no and walked away. Very politely went down there, paid his fare to go 2,500 miles to the west when he should be going to the east. He's going to go as far as he humanly can from this because he doesn't want to do this. Now, the thought of running from the presence of the Lord, in Psalm 139, it says, where shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take up the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You can't get away from the Lord. No matter what you do or where you go, God sees you. Now, maybe Jonah just wanted to flee from the pleasure, God's good pleasure, that he would just be that sort of rebellious one that walks away and God sort of turns away and leaves him alone. But I don't think, I just don't see that. When God asks someone to do something, no one says, you know, I don't think so. That's not really what I want to do. That's really what my decision is, what I do. If God's called me, it's up to me to decide what I do and where I go. You know, yeah, God's called me, but you know, it's up to me to figure out what I want to do. This is my life. I get to choose what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And let me tell you, you know, that's what I'm going to do. We don't think of any ramifications. You know, when you think of the lost, it's my life. I'll choose if I want to be saved. You think of the person who is saved, who has a spirit but doesn't do anything past that for the Lord. You know, hey, it's my life, it's my choice if I decide to serve God. You think about the other person who sits there and has dedicated himself to the Lord and the Lord calls him to do something. No, that's my choice, what I do and how I do it. I'll tell you something I believe. I believe lots of grown men are called into the service of the Lord. But you go to the Bible colleges, it's mostly young men. Where do all the grown men go? I just don't think they answer. I don't think they go because it doesn't fit within the society we have today. I think a lot of people just say, it just doesn't work. Verse 4. This thought of running away from God, just fleeing from God, and he will leave you alone. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. So out of the sight of Jonah, out of the sight of mariners, a wind had begun. One that could break the very ship Jonah was on, and all the men on the ship. We don't think a lot about the people in our boat when we say no to God. You know, it's what I want to do. I'm good. If something happens to me, something happens to me. But what about the people with us? What little girl ran up to her sailor daddy and said, "Bye, daddy. Hey, remember when you come home, we're going to have a tea party." And the sailor got onto the ship. Or what sailor, when he went home, kissed his wife, and they seemed like nice guys if you read the story, got on the boat, said, "All right, well, let's go another day." But Jonah said no, and the wind forms out there. Do you think when Adam had the fruit in his hand and he took the bite that he thought about the blood of his son on the earth? Do you think that was what was crossing his head? When Rachel lied, do you think she knew that Jacob would be gone for so long? So David's dwelling up there, gazing where he shouldn't be gazing? Did he think about the child? There are decisions that we make all the time when we say no to the Lord. And there's more decisions that we make for good or bad than this world will give credit for.
I'm just going to go have lunch with her. She's fine. We're just friends. We're just going to have lunch.
And there's 100 million decisions that I could go through that people would say, well, it's none of your business. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just making this one little step. In Exodus 20, it says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I never thought that was fair. I never thought it was fair that the kids had to suffer for the parents. But then you think about a grandfather who's abusive or just whatever example you wanted to. And then it bleeds over to the father. Now, the father might do as best as he could, but he still bears what repercussions that grandfather did. Then he has a son, and the same thing carries down yet another generation. And that grandfather, who never knew these people, is still having the effect upon these children further and further along the line. Verse 5, when the mariners were afraid, and every man cried unto his God, cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Those in the boat wanted to know why this has happened. These sailors had no idea where and why this storm was. You would assume that these were experienced sailors, that there was no thought of that something bad was going on, but yet this storm is coming, and it seems to be going to break them in half. They did everything in their power to fix this. One of the illustrations I think of is when Joshua brought the children of Israel to Ai. And it says, and the men of Ai smote, of them about 36 men, for they chased them before the gate unto Cherubim, and smote them in going down, wherein the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, and even to the evening tide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore have thou brought this people over to Jordan, deliver us to the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites, all about the inhabitants of the land, shall hear of it, and shall environ around us, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do with thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest upon thy face. Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have stolen and disassembled also, and put it even among their own stuff. 36 people died because some guy saw look, it's gold, it's silver, and it's stuff for me. Well, it's not going to hurt anybody else if I take it. And if I get caught, they'll stone me and stuff like that, and that's really bad. Now, these men were so worried. Now, you would think, given stories and stuff like that, that Jonah would be in the bottom of the ship just pacing back and forth. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, my goodness, what's going on? Not at all. He's out. He's snoring. He's dead asleep in the bottom. Big storm going on. That's Jonah right there. Nothing going on. He's completely asleep. And it's sort of sad every now and then that you see someone who slips away from the will of God and they don't see it. Yeah. How do you think Lot did in Sodom? Do you think he ever worried as he slowly rose up into the gate to be a judge amongst the people? Do you think that he ever it ever crossed his mind that something was going on? Every now and then God's judgment comes in the distance and we don't see it. It has to be those around us. If you think about these intervention things, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I can do whatever I want to. And yet the family sees how they're destroying their lives and destroying everything around them, and that they try to get in there and stop this. You'll see it today. You see people all the time turning their back on God and not doing what they should do in the eyes of God. But can you tell them that? I mean, can you imagine today's world, somebody's posting something on Facebook, well, brother, I don't think you should do that.
boom, 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 and they would tear you up. What we do has ramifications on those around us. They have effect on those around us. And these poor men don't understand. So the shipmaster came unto him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call unto thy gods, if it so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." My vernacular would be, "Aren't you afraid? Wake up! Don't you even care? We're going to die here." So these lost people were seeking help, and Jonah's asleep. Now, I want to ask you, at this point, was Jonah a good guy or was he a bad guy? If you were going to tell the story right here, who's the good guy and who's the bad guy? Jonah's bringing this calamity upon these people that he's never met before. He's bringing judgment around these people simply because he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. And he brings this upon these people around them. You ever think that Tiger Woods one day when his wife was beating his car with the golf club, that he ever wanted to go back to his dad and ask him, "Well, Dad, I don't understand. I mean, I did everything you told me to do. I was the best golf player in the world. I practiced, I worked, I won. Why is my world going bad?" Do you think his dad has said, "Well, I made golf a god, and apparently it didn't work out too well"? Do you think that as these poor kids that get sucked into Hollywood want to turn around these managers going, "You know, this is a horrible life that I've got. What's going on?" "Well, sorry, we just wanted to exploit you and use you for everything that we could and then throw you off to the curb." But they don't see that. They never say that. Well, son, I just wanted you to be a great sports star. I wanted you to be this. I wanted you to be that. But we should always remember that our actions have effect on other people around us. A lot of people are disobedient and they lie to themselves. And that's the hardest thing. "No, I'm doing what I should do." And they will come up with some local cultural reason why they can do what they can do. Jonah's got a pretty good excuse there. "Hey, these people are going to come and be brutal to my people. I don't want them to save. I want to see them burn. I want to see them just decimated. I don't want to be a part of this." I mean, it's hard to really say that he loves his people so much, but the will of God overrides what he thinks. And it's true in our lives. Oh, the will of God, the rules of God, the purpose of God, the joy of God should always override what we think. Our guide should always be what's in the Holy Scriptures. And they said, everyone to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for what cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. So these men were looking for why this badness had came. In the Old Testament, they used to use lots. They would sort of give it up to chance or the gods to see why something happened. We don't have to do that anymore. Now, if we're saved, we got the Holy Spirit. We want to know something that's right. We can ask the Holy Spirit and he'll tell us. It's pretty easy. Most of the time, at 99 times, you know, "Well, should I do this?" "Well, it should be okay." You know that's wrong. "Absolutely. Well, there's probably nothing." You know you've already went down the wrong course. Yeah. Or, if you're really curious, you can open the Word of God. Now, we're not in Saudi Arabia or China or any of those places. We're in America. There's Bibles everywhere. If you don't have a Bible, we can get you one. We can give you the words of God written specifically to you to tell you what to do in all situations, in all cases. Amen. Now, someone might look at you, "Well, that's kind of hard." Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the stuff that we have to do is hard. It's beyond hard. It's incredibly difficult. Beyond incredibly difficult, it is gut-wrenchingly hard. Some of the stuff is just terribly difficult that we have to do. Christ walked on a sinful earth. A sinless God walked on this earth for us. He created us.
God made a you. I don't mean he made man, you know, this thought that, and there was man everywhere. But God made you. He wasn't looking for this big race of people. He wanted a you. I can't believe that a magnificent, omnipotent, all-powerful God would want a Deutsch. I just wouldn't go buy one at the store. But he made me. And he knew that I was going to be a sinner. He knows that all the stuff that I've ever done. He knows the stuff that no one knows that I've done. And he knows that I've done it. So, in your mind, imagine Christ walking on this earth. An infinite God having full knowledge of me at that time. Yeah. Knowing when he's going up on the cross, it isn't just for quote-unquote sin, the big bucket of sin. But for when Deutsch did this, and Deutsch did that, and Deutsch did this, and Deutsch did that, I am more than willing to die. A God was willing to die for me. So we open up our Bible and says, you know what? I really want to watch that on TV. And we should think to ourselves that our entire life should be focused on what the Lord wants us to do. Because when we start doing this, we end up with a culture like we have today. Just, oh my goodness. You can't even recognize some of the things that used to be there for the fact just a little bit of this bleeds over to that, bleeds over to this, bleeds over to that, bleeds over to that. And eventually you're here. In verse 8, they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for what causes... is this evil upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? What people are thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. They asked, why? Who are you? Where did this come from? And Jonah doesn't hesitate. He declares who he is. I'm a Hebrew. He declares who his God is, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who parted the Red Sea. And you know they still knew that kind of stuff back then. How terrified would you have been if you knew this guy was running from God, not one of these little wooden guys that people carved up, but this actual God had done things. How terrified would you have been on that moment? Thinking that this man who had decided to run from the presence of the Lord was now in around you. So a person decides not to be saved. You know what? I've heard the gospel, but I just don't think so. And they die. Now, I know someone that has some loved ones that have passed away. In order for them to come to a knowledge of God, they've got to understand that their loved ones are probably in hell. That's a big hurdle, a big block that they put, that they've left for that person. They've got to think of that person that they love, that they so very much love, that will probably be in hell. So why do they acknowledge it? So this person who decided, you know, not for me, it's okay, maybe for the kids, maybe for someone else, but it's fine for me, yet it still bled onto there. If we're saved and we run from God, people will see. People will know. If I can get away from it once, why can't you? I mean, if I can just walk away from God one time and nothing really happens, well, it's sort of an optional thing, isn't it? You know, hey, do you want to do God service? Yeah. You know, Deutsch didn't, so it's all fine. We'll be okay. You know, nothing really drastic is going to happen in our lives. This is one of the verses. This verse, I was going to Bible school a couple years ago. And money was just really, really tight. And I saw there was a job in Savannah, Georgia, paying more money than I have ever made in my life. I mean, a lot of money. And I was making nothing. And so comparatively, that was a whole lot more money. And I thought about it, you know, as you think about it, I didn't quit school. I didn't do any of these things. But this always, you know, the Lord brought this to my mind. What about the people in my boat? You've met them. That's my wife. That's little Deutsch. That's Ashley. The people in my boat.
What if I'm fine and they're not? What if I turn around one day in their teenage years that we're going through messes that I just don't understand why and how it happened? As God's directions comes to us, we should always listen to that. We should always obey what God says. It's not going to be pleasant in this world, no matter what they say or how the world tries. Well, if you're a good Christian, everybody's going to love you. That's not what Christ says. They hated me. They're going to hate you. You won't fit. Verse 10, and the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. These men had seen their livelihood lost. Now that they thought their very lives were in danger. Because this man that they didn't know had decided to run from God. You ever wonder if the jailer, when he came home and got witness, when he was witnessed to by Paul with his family, said the same thing? Why hast thou done this? And they look at this man and they don't understand. It just terrifies them what's going on and why this is going on. Our nation always talks about truth, always talks about, you know, well, you'll know this, we'll know this. But it so runs so far from the truth. The only thing that can save this nation that I was born in, this nation I love, is Christ. It's so sad to think that out there that people will try to plant this and this as a satisfaction to life, as a substitute for God, but there's nothing out there that can substitute for Christ. The lost are out there in so much. So many numbers. I would invite a couple of guys to work with me. And they go, well, I know you're going to do a great job. I don't care if I do a great job. I really don't. Whether or not you remember this great sermon or not, it's whether or not there's a great Lord that we know. Christ came to this world and died for us. And by that, he gives us instructions of how we should live. He opens this Word of God before us and says, do this and don't do this and do this. And we think that simply because, well, I'm not going to do that, it's not going to have any effect on those around. Of course it's going to have effect around this. If somebody is lost here, if somebody doesn't know Christ, please know that He died on the cross for you. He would more... His purpose, His will was to see you saved, to see you spend eternity with Him. If you don't know, come, and it's easy to show. It is the most blessed, beautiful thing there is in existence today to know Christ. For Christians, it's Wednesday. There's lots of Christians here. There's a verse that's used a lot that says, For what is a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his whole soul, or lose his own soul? If you look at that verse in context, it says, and Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? When God calls us to do something, we should do it. And this isn't a matter of us rationalizing what is right and what is wrong in our mind, or what is unacceptable is this, and what's wrong with this. That man was riding his bike the other day at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. So when he gets home and he sees his kids, what's the important thing to do? Daddy's riding his bike. He's in good shape. He's all muscular. What's the important thing to do in that family? To be in shape. Is it to go to church? No. It would be below riding your bike. That will have an effect on those children. Everybody knows as they go in this, as they've grown up, that they've, well, let me rephrase that. I know in my life that I've heard one thing and saw another. And while I may have heard that, what I saw was really what I believed. If someone said, well, you should do this, you should do this, but then they did that, well, that's what I would notice, because that's what was important to them. Romans 14:7 says, for none of us live to himself, and no man dieth unto himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live thereof or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. We are to be Christ. We are to give ourselves to him. We are to allow him to guide our lives. And for those around us, they will see that. We will give that testimony. We will earn a good report in the eyes of those around us. And we will spread what is the light of our heart, of our life, of our soul around the world. And they will see Christ within us. If we allow the Lord to work, if we allow the Lord to move in our life, if we allow Jesus Christ to guide our lives, and we obey him, then others around will see this light and they will be affected by it. Let us stand.